From Buck Studio at Wisconsin Public Radio, this is Zorba Pastor on Your Health. I'm Carl Christensen, filling in for Tom Clark, and I'm here with family doc Zorba Pastor. We'll spend the next hour with you in our virtual doctor's office. Although, Zorba, we're actually missing that huge roll of butcher paper that you put over the exam table.
Right, you've got it.
Where do they get that stuff, by
the way? That's right. From the butchers.
From the butchers. The butchers come in and deliver that stuff?
They come in and deliver the paper. That's right, the butcher paper.
Do they provide the knives and
that's
the scalpels,
right, the whole
too?
Thing. Okay. They've got the whole thing.
They we're
bring
missing
it along
that.
With the Iceman. Oh, they come in too.
All right, we're going to talk healthy living. We'll walk you through a healthy recipe. We'll get to some of your emails and a few of your phone calls as well. So if you have a question for the good doc, the number to call anytime is 800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. Along with those calls, Zorba, we have a couple topics to talk about today.
Yes, we're going to talk about walking. So there's a new study that shows that walking close to 10,000 steps a day may actually be something that cuts your risk of dementia by up to 50%. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about where these numbers come and whether or not this research really shows something. And then WHO now warns against artificial sweeteners for weight loss. New guidance. For years, I've said there's sort of no harm, no foul, but this new WHO study is making me think maybe I was wrong, and we should visit that for anyone who eats artificial sweeteners and drinks diet soda or zero-calorie Coke, things like that.
That's a lot of us, for sure. And what's our special recipe today?
Spicy, honey, cornflake, baked chicken.
Ooh.
Try to say that backwards.
Ooh.
Chicken, baked, cornflake, honey, spicy. Anyway,
okay.
It's a new way.
Way.
It's a new way to make chicken, but actually it's not a new way. It's sort of the way my mom would make it back in the 50s. So it's a retro recipe that may remind you of what it was like when you had cornflakes in the 50s and thought that cornflakes were the health food of the century.
Sounds
that's
great.
That's what Kellogg invented. That's why he invented it.
Okay, I'd eat that. All right, to the phones we go at 800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. All right, we welcome our first caller now, a listener in Republic, Washington. Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Very good.
Very
thanks.
Good. How can we help?
So I'm a 60-year-old woman, and I recently had my blood test done, just my, annual.
Mm-hmm.
And I come from a family of heart disease.
A family of heart disease. The heart disease family. Got it. Okay.
Yes.
All right. All right.
Congestive heart failure.
Got it.
Right.
Got it. It's right on your insignia, the family insignia, congestive heart failure.
Exactly.
Something like
and
that.
Irish,
And Irish. Got it.
And cry a lot. Very emotional.
I'm trying to picture the plaque, what it would look like, but I've got it in my brain. But you've got a family history of heart disease and heart failure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. But I'm fit. I got a low pulse rate. And, I do like to have a couple drinks with dinner.
Sure.
So
sure.
I came back with, which has been kind of normal, but it's higher than normal, is a very high cholesterol, just total cholesterol.
Yeah. How high was it? What was the number?
257.
And what about the HDL and LDL, the good cholesterol and the bad cholesterol?
Okay, the HDL was 79.
Very good. Wonderful.
Yep. Mm-hmm. LDL was 161.
161. Okay, well, man, that's
a
pretty number.
And the ratio was 3.3.
Right. A couple of things here, by the way. Do you smoke cigarettes?
So my question was, I live in a small town, so they just said statins.
Mm-hmm.
And statins are making me nervous.
Sure. A lot of people get nervous with that. Yeah,
They
do. But a couple of questions here. Do you smoke cigarettes?
Oh, I worked on ships a lot. So, not a lot, but just one on the deck looking out at the ocean every once in a while.
Every once in a while, but not on a regular, not on a daily basis. You don't smoke a pack or half a pack a day. What do you do for exercise?
No. Oh, I hike up hills, I run, I ski.
Okay, so you exercise and then you have one or two drinks a night. Is that what you were saying before?
Yeah, I think that's my downfall.
Okay. Well, maybe. So here's the issue. Number one, you've got a family history. So we put you in this calculator, the risk calculator, which really comes from the Framingham Heart Study. There's nothing in there for family history, but family history really, really counts a lot. You've got an elevated cholesterol. When we do the analysis, your HDL cholesterol is really nice and high at 79. That is a really, really good number. That's a protective cholesterol. But your LDL, your bad cholesterol, is 161, which really begins to get up there. At about 170 is sort of the threshold, but these numbers are really not exact. So you've got a couple of options here. First of all, statins may be good, but you want to really decide whether or not you need a statin or not. So one of the things I tell people is, hey, let's get another number. Why don't you come back in 3 to 6 months? There's no rush here. Why don't you really do well with your diet? Continue with your exercise. Let's see what part of this is diet related. All of a sudden, if your LDL cholesterol goes down like in the 120 range or 130 range, you'll know it's diet and exercise is really a way to control it. But if it stays up there, statin really is something to consider because of your family history. You want to see if lifestyle can really make a difference. And so that's where you want to do everything you can, be just really as good as you can, then repeat the numbers. If they're high like this, I would go on a statin. I would recommend it.
Okay.
I'm very much pro-statin because the data shows we dropped premature heart attack by 70%, 60 to 70% based on how you measure it in people with a history such as yours with a strong family history of heart disease.
Okay. Well, I so appreciate you and your show, and thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for your call. Appreciate it.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-800-462-7413 is the number to call anytime. That's 800-462-7413. All right, before we move on here, let's get to the first topic. We're talking about walking now, some new research on walking and dementia risk.
Oh, we're going to talk about, how many steps a day is really going to help you and what does it mean? So the initial idea of 10,000 steps a day actually came from a Japanese man who invented the pedometer. And we're talking about something that happened decades ago. 10,000 was a lucky number in Japan and Japanese at that time. So they said you should do 10,000. There really was nothing totally based on that. So then the questions have come up. When do we begin to get fitness? In other words, and there's the Nurses' Health study that seemed to show that you really get a lot of fitness once you get about 4,000 steps a day. By the way, have you ever kept track of how many steps a day you get?
I've never tried. I've never used a pedometer or an app. No, I've never done it.
You don't have like a Fitbit or anything like that?
I've never done that.
Is that because you have young children and you're chasing them around the house?
I feel like yes.
Probably get your 10,000 steps. How about you, Brad? Have you ever had a Fitbit or anything like that?
I have an Apple Watch.
An Apple Watch. How many steps? You ever look at how many steps a day you get?
I do. I've gotten pretty obsessed with it, actually.
Obsessed with how many? OCD.
Brad
exercises
a lot.
All right. So how many steps a day do you average?
Between running and walking, like around 20,000.
20,000 steps a day.
Wow.
That's unbelievable. You know what?
Look at the big steps on Brad.
You know, I'll tell you something. You can give steps to other people. You know, you can gift steps. That's what you have to do. You have to give steps.
Yeah, it's like crypto.
It's like crypto. That's right. That's right. And it'll crash like crypto.
Uh-oh.
But getting back to this, because I find that I generally, it's interesting. If I'm working in my office, I often get about 10,000 steps a day because I also have a desk downstairs in my office and I'm going up and down the desk in my office. And at home, sometimes I only get 4,000 or 5,000 steps a day. But this is an article, JAMA Neurology, evidence of whether or not steps cut down in dementia. It's an observational study. It's a study that is out of the University of Sydney in Australia and the University of Southern Denmark. And they've studied roughly 8,000 adults aged 40 to 79 who enrolled in something called the BK Biobank, and they have an accelerometer. So they've got the equivalent of a Fitbit Apple Watch that they've been wearing for 7 years. Okay, they don't wear it necessarily every day, but they've got very good data. And these people are committed. And what they discovered was the higher number of steps a day, the lower the amount of dementia. Now, I want to talk a little bit about that in detail in a minute, but at about 10,000 steps a day, it appeared that you could cut your risk of dementia by 50%.
Wow.
Now, if that turns out to really be the case, that is extremely important because it's showing, once again, the mind-body connection, and really keeping the body going is also keeping the mind going. And doing bursts of activity 6 or 7 minutes a day, we know, also increases memory. And so when you see all these placebo pills on television that tell you, take this pill, your memory will be better. Remember, it's not the pill that works. It's the feet that work
mm-hmm.
that really make a difference. Now, you can look at this and say, well, maybe people who are walking 10,000 steps a day are actually at a low risk for dementia because they're walking 10,000 steps a day. There's no cause and effect. In other words, the 10,000 steps may not be doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It might be people who actually walk 10,000 steps are less likely to be dementia. But I think we can look a little bit further if we look at all the data overall. Exercise makes a difference in your brain, not whether or not you take a pill that you see on TV that costs or on the web that costs, you know, $40 to $60 a month. And I think that's important. Now, I've had a Fitbit before. I happen to have an Apple Watch that I look at. There's a really interesting Oura Smart Ring, O-U-R-A. A friend of mine came over and had it. It's $299, $300, which really is expensive. You can get a Fitbit easily. You can get an activity monitor easily for about $39. Or you can go fancy, fancy, fancy and get something else. But increase your steps, protects your brain, and I think there's a bottom line here. We get, in America, generally about 2,000 to 3,000 steps a day.
That's it.
That's it. And once you drop below 1,500 steps a day, you become feeble.
Mm-hmm.
There's very good data on it. And the reality is the reason why Europeans do better than we do on the dementia status and the Australians is they walk more.
Mm-hmm.
We get in our car.
Right.
If you look at McDonald's and you look at Hardee's and you look at Wendy's, they now do about 50% to two-thirds of their business from people who drive in their car to the restaurant and eat.
Right.
I mean, come on, folks. Drive to the car. You don't even get out of the car because it takes a lot to walk into the restaurant to get your fast food. There's something wrong with this picture.
And they won't let you walk up through that drive-thru. You have to have a vehicle. I've tried to walk through.
Oh, they won't let you walk up.
I tried to walk up to a Taco Bell once, and they said, sorry, you have to have a vehicle. Come on. Can I
walk
up here?
You've got to have a vehicle. They won't give it to you unless you have a car.
Yeah.
That's funny. I had no idea.
Maybe they should have a walking lane now. Walk off those calories.
10,000 steps a day. That really should be your goal. Try to hit that at least 75 to 80% of the time. And you may cut your risk of heart disease, stroke, because we know that, and dementia.
Interesting stuff. 800-462-7413. That's the number to call. That's 1-800-462-7413. Let's hear a voicemail now. This is a listener from Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Hi there. My question is pork rinds. They're very delicious, they're good, and they're better for you than using chips, so I hear. I do like them. However, they always make me cough. They always scratch my throat a little bit. It seems I can't stop coughing after I swallow them, and I just want to know, is there something in them? Is it the oil? Is it the grease? I don't have any other reactions to pork itself, or is there a certain brand I should be looking for or discontinue eating them at all? That would be my question. Thank you. Bye-bye.
So that means pork rinds are a health food? That they're actually better than chips?
Do you eat pork rinds?
Have I had pork rinds?
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
You don't eat them regularly, though.
Of course not. Do you eat pork rinds regularly?
No,
not
I
at
don't.
All.
No,
I mean, if I'm going to go for it, I probably have Funyuns.
Okay.
You ever have Funyuns?
I love Funyuns, but those are onions, right? They're not actual
it's
made out of pork?
It's the same crap, no matter which way you look at it. It's oil on a skeleton of a carbohydrate or something else to do with. You might as well chew on pig's ears instead of giving it to your dog. It's really not a healthy thing. What is it in the pork rinds? It's probably one of the 45 different ingredients. Now, don't quote me. There might be 35. 45 different ingredients, which is what, by the way, is in a Twinkie. 45 different ingredients in the pork rinds. It could be the flavoring, the coloring, the seasoning, the pork rind itself. It could be anything at all.
Yeah.
And if you're addicted to pork rinds and you start coughing, well, you got two choices. Either eat the pork rinds and cough for 30 minutes or switch to something healthier like carrot sticks.
Actually, do you want to check how many ingredients are in a bag of pork rinds? Sure, I have one right here, actually, Zorba.
Are you serious?
I brought some pork rinds to the studio.
Oh, my God. You actually brought pork rinds to the studio?
Out. All right. Okay, you want to see it?
Yeah, I definitely want. Oh, my God. Look at. Oh, actually, it doesn't have. It has fried out pork fat. Not bad.
That's
okay.
Not bad.
With attached skin. Right. Salt. Okay.
A lot of salt.
Paprika. Dextrose. Spices. It's all it says.
Just
we don't
vague
have any
spices. Yeah.
Paprika, garlic powder, monosodium glutamate, of course, MSG. Natural flavoring. I like it. Natural flavoring. And corn oil. So it starts out with fried out pork fat oil, and it ends up with corn oil. So this is your all corn oil. And this is the Iron Door Con Carne pork crackling, fried out pork fat with attached skin.
I picked those up on the way into the studio
on the
today.
At
a little Mexican grocery.
It's wonderful. Yeah. It's wonderful.
They look really good. You want to try them, maybe? Pop them open.
Why not? I'm going to have a pork fat.
This makes for great radio. Yes.
Oh, my God.
A lot of crackling on the mics here.
Oh, my goodness. You know, this with a little beer?
Oh, yeah. They are pretty good.
Yeah.
The flavor on this
is one.
Con chile picante. they're labeled as pork cracklings.
Are they kosher? That's what I want to know.
That's a good question.
Are pork rinds kosher?
They do make them out of wheat, though. There are wheat pork rinds that have no pork at all. I saw those at the store. Never tried those. So this is the spicy version. These are pretty good.
Thank you. Not bad.
Anyways, yeah.
So are we going to have a pork rind recipe on the air? I don't think so.
Pork rind chicken? Crusted chicken, maybe?
Pork rind crusted chicken. I don't think that's going to happen.
Pork
but
rind
we do have spicy
kitchen,
honey
like
cornflake baked chicken, and it is much healthier than pork rinds. I need some water now.
Yeah, I got pork rind dust all over my fingers now. This is going to be tough to work the phone. 800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. But before we take a break, Zorba, we often hear from the grammar police. But wait, Brad, don't play that Sting-inspired jingle quite yet. Because, Zorba, on a recent show, you were questioning the use of a microwave to sterilize old sponges. Do you remember that?
Well,
it was a while back.
Yeah. Right.
So now we get to absorb some blowback from the sponge police. That's a lot of disgusting sounds in that one.
They are disgusting sounds, but that's okay.
All right.
Okay. We're teenagers at heart.
This is what we do.
Right?
The following email came from a listener and sponge enthusiast named Paul.
Sponge enthusiast.
Who writes, like a bulldog with a pork chop, I just can't.
Like a bulldog with a pork chop.
Not a pork rind, a pork chop. I just can't let this controversy go. There's good news in the rag versus sponge debate, as there are only winners here. Neither a sponge nor a rag used in the kitchen spreads more bacteria than the other.
Okay.
If one simple step.
Neither a sponge nor a rag.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
And use of the word neither. We don't use neither very much.
That's nice. It's a good start. Mm-hmm. Paul goes on, you got to do this one simple step. Follow this one simple step.
Okay.
Once you're done with the dishes counter cleanup. And just after the final rinse of one's favorite cleaning choice, place the sponge or rag into the microwave on high for 60 to 90 seconds.
60 to 90 seconds.
It works best if the sponge or rag is left a little more moist than fully wrung out.
Okay.
Paul continues, the steamy hot sponge or rag will kill off any of the nasty bugs. Be careful on removal to avoid a burn.
It'll be hot. Right.
Works great, and there isn't any mildew smell once it's dry either.
I got to try it.
We all win, Paul says.
We all win. The sponge or the rag, we win. Well, we'll do it. That's right. The microwave loses. By the way, we win. One for us, zero for microwave. Okay, I'll try it.
That's it. You're just going to try
it. See if it works.
All right. We'll
you never know unless you try.
We'll report back on the show on that one. Do you think Zorba needs to be corrected on something he said? Well, when presented with a solid argument, he's always happy to expunge his erstwhile opinion.
That's right.
Just let
us know. Send us in an email to Zorba at
WPR.org
or, of course, through Facebook.
I think we're going to need a sponge to clean up the pork rind dust all
over
the table here.
I can smell it on my fingers
I still taste it.
That's
I mean, it's a good taste, but it's still there.
That's right. And yes.
All right. More of your emails coming, more of your calls, and we'll cook up some spicy honey cornflake baked chicken. All coming up on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRX. Carl Christensen filling in for Tom Clark on Zorba Pastor on Your Health. If you have a question for the show, the number to call anytime is 800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. But before we get back to those calls, Zorba, let's talk about today's recipe, spicy honey cornflake baked chicken. That's a mouthful right
there. It's a mouthful to say, and it's a good mouthful to eat.
I bet.
Now, back when I was a kid, cornflakes on chicken were sort of the rage in the 50s.
Really?
And that's what my mom would make when she made fried chicken. She didn't go to breadcrumbs. She went to the fancy stuff, which was cornflakes. And panko had not been invented. Well, panko undoubtedly had been invented because it was a Japanese invention, but I never heard about panko basically for years and years and years, and now it's really pretty much mainstream. But cornflakes are really a very interesting taste. And if you look back, Kellogg, who invented the cornflake, thought it was a health food.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I thought it was health food. Now why it was health food, I have no idea. But he thought the cornflakes were a health food, and he had a spa. We won't talk about his spa because he did strange things in his spa. But
I feel like on a past show,
people,
we heard about his spa.
We have. But he
look back in the archives for that one.
Cornflakes, yeah. Which is not really the healthiest thing in the world. I mean, there's Mucilex, which is a Swiss thing. And, of course, you can have granola. But cornflakes on chicken, got to try it if you've never tried it. Let's do the recipe.
All right.
Start out with 6 cups of cornflakes.
6 cups cornflakes.
Now, you can add cornflakes. You can pulse it in your food processor to make it into a fried crumb. Or you can do what I do if I make this recipe. You can buy a box of cornflakes that are basically next to the breadcrumbs.
Pre-crushed.
Pre-crushed. Don't have to go through the whole process. I like simple. Now, we've got the spices that are going to go in. Teaspoon of paprika.
1 little tea paprika.
1/2 teaspoon of onion powder.
1/2 little tea onion powder.
1/2 teaspoon of garlic powder.
1/2 little tea garlic powder.
1/2 teaspoon of freshly ground black pepper. Do not use the pre-ground in the can. It's not as good.
1/2 little tea freshly ground black pepper.
That's right. 1/2 teaspoon of salt. Kosher salt if you have it. Much better.
1/2 little tea salt.
Now, 2 large eggs.
2 large eggs.
2 tablespoonfuls of milk, almond milk, regular milk, goat milk, sheep milk, soy milk, whatever kind of milk product you want to have.
2 big tea milk of choice.
And by the way, there's an argument of whether or not anything other than cow's milk should be called milk. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a real argument right now in the feds whether or not it has to be relabeled as something else. Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? Then 1.5 to 2 pounds of boneless, skinless chicken thighs. You could use boneless, skinless chicken breast, but frankly, chicken thighs taste better, and I move more towards chicken thighs.
1.5 to 2 pounds boneless, skinless chicken thighs.
1/2 cup of honey.
1/2 cup of honey.
Where do you get your honey?
I used to get honey from our backyard because my wife kept bees before we had kids.
Your wife kept bees before you had kids?
Yeah, we had like 100,000 bees in our backyard about 10 years ago or so.
No kidding. How did she get into that?
Her grandpa was into it, and he would actually use bees to help his arthritis. He would get stung on his hands, and it was the only thing that helped his arthritis.
It helped his arthritis?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
So her grandfather taught her how to basically a beekeeper. I can't remember. There's a term.
Yeah.
There's a term for beekeepers that I can't remember.
Apiary.
Yeah. That's exactly what
yeah.
it was.
He taught
and
her.
And then she taught you.
I didn't ever learn any of it.
Oh, you never learned any of it.
No. So you can. I watched her do it all the time.
But you're
really
not going to have it with your kids.
I mean, we were waiting for our kids to get a little older so they didn't get curious and, buzz around the bee boxes.
Yeah.
But, we haven't gotten back to them yet.
Wonderful.
She still has all the bee boxes and everything ready to go once the kids are old enough.
I think the honey was
the best because it actually was the only thing that helped seasonal allergies for me because there's so much pollen and stuff in that honey that it kind of desensitizes you.
Oh, it sounds like a great idea. So
it was great. Half a cup of honey.
From
your backyard.
Thing. And 3 teaspoons of your favorite hot sauce.
3 little tea favorite hot sauce.
Let's make it.
All right.
Start out, preheat the oven to 400 degrees. Then take your crushed cornflakes, either in a food processor that you pulse it or better than that, just in a box. In a medium bowl, whisk in the paprika, onion powder, garlic powder, black pepper, and salt till it's well combined. Then in a separate bowl, whisk together the eggs and the milk, almond milk if you have it or regular milk, set it aside. Then line a large baking sheet with an oven-safe wire metal rack. So you put in a rack on the baking sheet, spray it with nonstick cooking spray so you don't have a lot of cleanup at the end, or you could put parchment paper under that too. Then dip each chicken thigh into the egg mixture. Use a tong. Grab the thigh generously. Put it into the corn mixture, the corn crumb mixture. Bread it with the corn crumbs. Use the tongs. Transfer it to the wire rack. Generously spray the tops of the chicken thighs with nonstick spray because that's going to give it a nice coating. Bake it for 20 to 25 minutes till it's cooked through, till the temperature reaches 165 degrees. And then right before serving, make the hot honey. Add honey and hot sauce to a small bowl, microwave so it's really hot for 10 to 15 seconds, taste it a bit, drizzle it over the chicken, and bon appetit. It is a wonderful, delicious dish, and if you like chicken like I like chicken, you will like this dish.
That sounds fantastic.
Absolutely. And you know what? You can get this dish on the web. Well, not the dish, but you can get the recipe on the web at ZorbaPastor.org. That's ZorbaPastor.org, or of course, through Facebook.
800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. Call anytime. Let's go back to those phone calls now. This is a listener in Brookfield, Wisconsin. Hi.
Hi.
How can we help?
No. Here's the thing. I really like my coffee in the morning, and I used to drink probably 5, possibly 6 cups in the morning.
Oh, it's a lot of coffee.
Yeah, and then I also got a sciatic nerve problem, so I'd have to, after breakfast, I'd have to get off my feet and go in my recliner, and then I'd read a little, and my hands would cramp up so bad. And in the past couple of weeks now, I've kind of laid off the coffee somewhat. Mm-hmm. I'm down to probably 3 cups a morning, mm-hmm. and it seems to be better, and I had another incident where I had cramps real bad. We went down with another couple to the Indy 500, mm-hmm. and I drank quite a bit of coffee at breakfast. Mm-hmm. And we were down there with my motorhome, a 42-foot motorhome with a trailer behind it, made it 65 feet long.
that's a long. Were you a truck driver in a former life?
No, I was an operating engineer, but I drove plenty of trucks, too.
Got it. So driving that 65-foot rig did not bother you at all?
Not at all. But here's the thing. The other couple that was with us is a young friend of ours, mm-hmm. and his wife. And I said, Andy, you got to take over. And he was real skeptical, but I said, I'll talk you through it. So he drove all the way from just north of Indy a little ways back to Brookfield here and did a good job.
Oh, because you could not drive because of your hands. Was that it?
Yeah, I blamed it on the coffee. Of course, we had some friends over at the motorhome that night, and we mm-hmm. had a few libations. I don't know if that was a factor or not, but
maybe.
At any rate, my hands would cramp up so bad, but like I said, last couple of weeks I've been laying off the coffee a little mm-hmm. bit, and it's better. Mm-hmm. Do you have any connection?
Well,
between...
I've got a couple questions for you. So, do your hands do they cramp up morning, evening, night? Is there certain times
morning.
They tend to cramp?
Mm-hmm.
And how morning. Long does it take before they uncramp themselves?
Well, not long. If I just relax, I put the book down, and I just. Mm-hmm. Relax and stretch out my fingers and everything. And
stretch out your fingers.
Don't use them.
Got it. So stretch out your fingers. You hit a very important point. So first of all, I'm not sure exactly why they're cramping, but usually it's related to arthritis, to, you know, these are common things that happen when you're older. They cramp. We've got pain. We have discomfort. Our hands may cramp. All of a sudden, there are things that are going on there. My recommendation is that you do some hand exercises. If you go to YouTube, you know, go up to YouTube and you put Bob and Brad hand exercises or Bob and Brad wrist exercises. These are two physical therapists from Wisconsin. They're Wisconsin boys. They do a great job of explaining exercises. And anything that you're doing in terms of exercise, wrist pain, carpal tunnel pain, hand pain, any one of those will be a set of exercises that if you do morning and evening, just 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes in the evening, I bet you can cut those cramps down to 50% less or 90% less. You've got to do some exercises there that makes a difference. Now, whether or not it's the amount of coffee, hard to say. Hard to say. One way to find out is cut out the coffee, the caffeine in the coffee completely for 3 to 5 days or a week. See what happens. I don't think the coffee is the issue. Maybe a minor issue, but I think the major player you can get done with exercising those hands and those wrists.
Oh, very good. I sure appreciate the information, and I certainly thank you for your show. It's you have a great staff with you, and it's very refreshing.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. You have a great day, and thank you. We'll have you on again sometime.
Thank you, Doc.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for that call at 800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. Let's get to some voicemails here. We actually have a voicemail double shot. These are both
double
voicemails
shots.
From Oklahoma.
Is that because we talked about coffee? Double shot?
<That's> right. Actually, it wasn't. I wasn't even thinking
no,
that.
No, I think it was. Your mind works in strange
yes,
ways.
It was. That. Yep, right. You got me there. This is two voicemails from Oklahoma. We're going to hear them back to back.
Yes, hi. I'd like you to state the facts about statins, the harmful side effects, short-term and long-term, and the alternatives to statins for high cholesterol, including diet, exercise, all of the above, and the safest statin if you really have to take them. Thank you so much.
Hi, Zorba. I understand pineapple and statins are not good for you. Have a wonderful day. Bye now.
Do you want to start with the pineapple one first?
Well, it's it has to do with the absorption of the statin with grapefruit juice. It's not pineapple.
Okay.
It's grapefruit juice. So having large doses of grapefruit juice really doesn't work, and so that's an issue, and that's been around for a couple of decades. So it's grapefruit juice, not pineapples. You can have pineapples and statins. I think statins are good drugs. I think they're very worthwhile. They don't just reduce cholesterol; they also stabilize the plaques that are in our arteries. Are there side effects? Well, there may be. There's some questions about whether or not statins put you at risk for diabetes. That's a question that's out there. Not exactly there, but if you weigh their benefit versus their risk, I think their benefit is much more. And we put people who are pre-diabetic on statins all the time. Are there alternatives? Sure. The best alternative is diet and exercise. Does it work all the time? Absolutely not. You have a strong strong family history of a statin, and genetically you have a high LDL cholesterol in the 180 range, 200 range, you can eat cardboard and nothing but cardboard, and you may not affect your cholesterol, but cholesterol is just a marker. It's not just a high cholesterol is doing something. It's a marker for other things going on. So I think if your doctor recommends a statin, the question is one better than another? Not really. They work differently. Some people don't tolerate one statin. They'll tolerate another statin. For some people, if they don't tolerate it, they get muscle aches. If you take it every other day in a low dose, they can tolerate that. But this is one of those things where you sit down with your healthcare provider and you say, well, look, I've read about these four or five things that are negative about statins, and then you think they're positive. Why don't you let me know? And then you make the decision. You know, we're all in the driver's seat about our health. That's important. It's not my doctor says I should do this, so I have to do this. It may be your doctor says you should do this, and I decided I will do this, or I want to do it. I think that's so important. And that's not the way medicine used to be. I mean, when my mom was around us, you know, she would say, well, I don't know what it is. The doctor said I should do it, so I'm doing it. The informed consumer is the best consumer. And that's why we do the show.
800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. All right, before we take a short break, Zorba, let's check in with your favorite hair splitters.
Oh, no, no. Here they come.
This is for
here
real now. Yeah. This is this, the Grammar,
the grammar police. Yep. Oh, no. Oh, no. It's the grammar. Oh, no. Here we go again.
Here we go.
Actually, punctuation? Punctuation?
Oh, you're already trying to get ahead of it. I like that. Actually, Zorba, we're going to hear from a new faction within the Grammar Police ranks.
They're always breaking off and joining together.
I know.
So many.
It's really,
so many people.
There's a, yeah.
That's right. So little time.
Whole
so
bureaucracy
many people.
Going
that's
on
right.
within the Grammar
that's
Police.
Right.
This
that's
is
right.
actually
it's
from,
hidden. It's
yes,
like the hidden state.
Yeah.
And they're behind the wall. Behind every colon is the grammar by the Grammar Police. That's their slogan, behind every colon.
I don't know what that means.
No, you don't. That's the whole point.
That's the
you
point.
Don't even know what
by
it
design.
Means. That's right.
I like that. Actually, this is from the Geography Police.
Okay.
The following infraction came from Colin in DeForest, Wisconsin. Colin writes, "Dear Zorba, on a recent episode, you shared a recipe for Welsh rarebit." Remember
yes.
that? That
yeah,
was a
I
good
do.
One.
I do.
And you described it as coming from, quote, the Welsh part of England.
Yes.
You know where you're going, where
yes,
they're going.
I got
Colin's
it.
Going
I
here.
Got it. Sorry. Go ahead.
I wanted
ahead.
To reach out.
That's right. That's right.
Colin go says, ahead. I wanted to reach out and give you the chance. He's yes, giving you a chance.
Yes. Wales.
Like a
Wales.
Good police officer.
Wales.
I'm going to give you the
right.
chance to
that's
correct
right.
yourself
that's
here.
Right. That's
you
right.
You have to correct
and
this.
And I don't get a ticket. That's right.
Okay. Colin says, I wanted to give you the chance to correct this serious geographic error before you start getting hate mail from your listeners in Wales.
That's right.
Which
that's
is,
right.
in fact, a
that's
separate right. country
yes,
from England.
Yes, it is. It's part of the UK. I'm wrong. I got it.
Should I even continue?
Right.
Or?
The UK is the combination of England, Wales, and Scotland. My bad. My bad.
Oh, no, this is a spoiler alert for the rest of the email here. I mean, I'll finish recalling.
Keep
he
going.
Wrote a very nice
yeah,
email.
Yeah, you know, I followed the royals. I've got to follow what
okay.
the UK is and Northern Ireland. Sorry.
Colin
I'm
continues.
I'm going to get a call from Northern Ireland, too.
Colin says, Wales is one of the four nations
that's
that
right.
make up the United Kingdom.
That's right.
The other three being Scotland,
that's
Northern
right.
Ireland,
that's
and England.
That's right.
Wales is part of the UK, but it is not part of England.
No,
the
never. They would
Wales,
never say they're part of England.
The people of Wales are known for being very proud of their separate identity from the English and would be greatly offended
yes.
to hear their country referred to yeah. as part of England. I thought I would let you know so you can apologize to the
apologize.
Country of Wales
I apologize.
Before they can mobilize right. against
I,
you.
I apologize. Ooh. And God save the king.
Okay. That's it? That's
I'm not going to sing it.
Okay, it's fine. I was hoping you would. Yeah.
I'm not going to sing.
If I had my Casio keyboard here, we could pull that off. That'd be great. Did Zorba make a boo-boo on the show? Well, this is your chance to harpoon him and save the whales. I don't even know if that works. Set him straight by posting on our Facebook page.
It's a different spelling. The spelling yes. police are coming in. Zorba at WPR.org. Or don't forget, you can find us on Facebook.
We have more of your calls to come, another interesting topic to discuss, and more of your emails, all coming up on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRX, the Public Radio Exchange. Carl Christensen filling in for Tom Clark on Zorba Pastor on Your Health. The number to call anytime with the phone question for Dr. Zorba is 800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. But Zorba, before we get back to those calls, we got some new information out of the World Health Organization about artificial sweeteners.
Let's talk about artificial sweeteners kind of from the beginning. So the first artificial sweetener we had was saccharin. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Saccharin's been around forever. If you've never tasted it, you could taste it. Those are the little tiny kind of white things. They used to have a little thing. It would be, you go to a restaurant, there'd be out little set. You've never seen this.
I remember this as a small
tiny,
kid. Was it a little, it would dab a little drop?
It
of,
would either be a drop. Drop out of a bottle.
Thing.
It was liquid saccharin, or it'd be a little chip that kind of looked almost like salt. It was saccharin. They found it caused cancer in laboratory animals, took it off the market. There was a hue and cry. People said, we want it back.
Mm.
It's back. I believe it's in Sweet and Low. It was at least last time I looked. Then you had cyclamates. Cyclamates were like God's gift to man. They were all around. They were sweet and great. Then the FDA did some research. We're talking back in the 60s and 70s. Once again, busted out because it caused cancer in laboratory animals. Then you had NutraSweet. NutraSweet are two amino acids together. Lots of research does not cause cancer in laboratory animals. Can't take it if you have phenylketonuria. Didn't bust out. Commonly used sweetener all over. Then you had sucralose, which is around. Now you have stevia,
mm-hmm.
right? You have stevia. So you have all these things. And what we've done is we've seen that the more diet drinks we eat, which is where most of this is in, the fatter we have become as a society. So they have not been shown to keep the weight loss at all. Mm-hmm. And in fact, Diet Coke stopped being called, well, they still have Diet Coke, but then they called it Coke Zero because a lot of people don't want to diet. They mm-hmm. just want to have a zero calorie thing. But it turns out probably when you drink drinks with artificial sweetener, it may actually stimulate your appetite to get more calories somewhere else. That's not what this study is about.
Okay.
Not at all. This study is about the fact that it may actually cause major problems. WHO has now recommended that we skip sugar substitutes because of new guidance. And it really has to do with some research that was looking at low-carb products, low-cal products, keto products that have something called erythritol, E-R-Y-T-H-R-I-T-O-L. And I'm spelling it because when I read the study, I thought, what's erythritol? I mean, I know what stevia is, but it turns out, wait a minute, you've got a low-calorie bubbler kind of drink. Read what's in there.
Yes, I'm drinking like a caffeinated, carbonated drink here.
And what does it say? Read the side. Tell me what's in it. The whole thing.
The first ingredient is carbonated water. That's
okay,
good.
Okay.
Second ingredient, erythritol.
So erythritol is not good for you. Researchers at Cleveland Clinic looked at 4,000 people in the U.S. And Europe and found out they had higher when they had higher blood erythritol levels, they had major side effects that may have led to things such as stroke and heart attacks. So maybe it may actually be bad for you. The beverage industry says, no, the scientific sweetener has really been shown to be safe, but global regulatory levels has said it. But the WHO now says, we don't think it's safe. We think it's actually causing type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular disease, strokes, and heart attacks. So what are you going to do? You know, I mean, what are you going to do? We eat an enormous amount of carbonated beverages.
Mm-hmm.
I think you got to read the labels. You really want to pay attention to your body. You've got to read the labels. And the answer is, if it's got anything artificial in there, like erythritol, if it's got stevia, I don't care if it's got stevia, I don't care if it's got NutraSweet, I don't care what it has in it, you've got to think, do I want to take this risk? It's okay. We take risks in our society. Make your decision, but just don't be blindsided if you find out this particular sweetener is responsible for bad health later on.
800-462-7413. That's the number to call anytime. Leave a question for the good doc at 800-462-7413. Let's get back to those phones now. Let's hear from a listener in Marquette, Michigan. Hi.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. I've loved your show for many years.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you for talking to me. Actually, it is about my adult son. It's about a very delicate subject, I think, and maybe controversial. He is 32, and he has been a marijuana user for at least a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not really wanting to get into the judgment of marijuana, yes or no. I know some people are very against it and so on. I'm not opposed to occasional use or certainly medicinal reasons, but I am wondering if my son's current state of health is connected to his marijuana usage being so long term.
Sure. Yeah, what's going on with him?
Well, we see him. He lives in a state far from us.
Mm-hmm. Where does he live?
He lives in Colorado.
He moved
there in 2015,
mm-hmm.
and it was legal recreationally, as you know.
Right.
And we see him two or three times a year
mm-hmm.
for a family visit. And
sure.
every single time, there's at least one day where he is just down and out. And it seems like he has chronic
mm-hmm.
unhealthiness.
Mm-hmm.
He has frequent stomach aches, nausea, headache,
mm-hmm.
and frequent bowel movements,
mm-hmm.
Diarrhea. And someone said to me, someone else in our family circle, that there is such a thing where you can have a sickness, and I hope I can pronounce it, cannabinoid hyperemesis syndrome.
Right.
And I thought,
cannabinoid hyperemesis syndrome, correct.
Yeah.
Hey, you did a pretty good job of
maybe
pronouncing it. You did it.
I thought maybe it could apply, but when I was reading about it on
Well, it might apply. It might, you know, it might, it might apply. And it, you know, it's your son, so you're gonna be concerned. And you know, chronic marijuana use is becoming more common. It's actually been common all along. It's just increased now that you can buy it and you know get it on a regular basis. And there are side effects. You know, every drug has a side effect. I mean, alcohol is a side effect. Tylenol has a side effect. You drink too much water, that can have a side effect. So the reality is, he could have hyperemesis, cannabinoid syndrome, or something else. You know, we don't study it because the feds, in their infinite stupidity, label marijuana in the same class as they label heroin and do not put OxyContin in the same class. That, in other words, they say OxyContin is safer based on their labeling than marijuana, which we know is not the case. So I never lose a chance because got to do something about this, and then we'll get more research. So researchers cannot do research on marijuana without jumping through a whole bunch of hoops. So the answer is, we really don't know how it's affecting your son. And if it affects him a lot, what does he do for a living?
Oh, that's interesting, because I feel like his health made it difficult for him to maintain jobs.
Sure.
He went from one job to another, and now he has had one for a couple of years where they're very flexible. They're very happy to have him.
What kind of a job?
He works in a warehouse.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so he works in a warehouse. So he's got a warehouse-type job that he works at, and they're flexible with that. But, I mean, the reality is, you should have a good faith conversation and say, hey, talk to this doc on the radio. Maybe your GI problems are from it. Have you thought about tapering off and going drug-free for a few weeks and see if your gut is better? And a lot of people, you know, they're constantly inebriated on marijuana. Some people function very well with inebriation. You look at Winston Churchill, who had alcohol in his system at all times, and he won World War II against the Germans. I mean, the reality is, he was a pretty smart guy, and he drank from morning until evening. He was the lush, and other people are affected adversely.
Right. That's what I'd like to do. I'd like to suggest to my son,
of course.
I know he uses marijuana daily. He has shared that with me, but I don't want this to backfire. I don't want him to close down.
Well, that's what you know something, you do that like a mom. You say, look, I don't want this to backfire. I'm not judging you, but I wonder if this is part of it. Why don't we have a conversation? Mm-hmm. He may say, oh, Mom, I don't want to talk about it. Well, there's your answer.
Yeah.
There's your answer.
Thank you
or
so much.
I mean, you know, you certainly can bring it up. It's a question of how judgmentally you are, and that's usually the issue.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your words of wisdom and your advice.
You're most welcome.
Thanks for that call at 800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. All right, let's go to a voicemail now. This is a listener in El Paso, Texas.
My question is there something that I can take so that I can have yeast and bread and fermented foods? My ENT told me that was what was causing my nearly constant ear infections. And I noticed that when I eat breads and drink wine, etc., I do get itchy ears. I get itchy everywhere. So anyway, thanks.
Well, there's something you can actually try. So I would recommend you try taking two things. First of all, take a non-sedating antihistamine. If you want to have a glass of wine, take Zyrtec, either one or two tablets. Start out with one tablet. If that doesn't work, go to two tablets. And take famotidine, which is an H2 blocker. It blocks, basically, famotidine is for your gut, for your stomach, but it also has antihistamine-type behavior. It's a different receptor in there. And sometimes for people who have either a yeast irritation, you know, they've got a reaction to yeast or a reaction to alcohol, that can make a difference. So 20 milligrams of famotidine and 10 to 20 milligrams of Zyrtec. See whether or not that works. It might. And if it does, let us know.
800-462-7413. That's the number to call anytime. Leave a message for the good doc at 800-462-7413. Before we call it a day, Zorba, we love it when our lovely listeners chime in with a healthy living tip for the show. The following email came from a listener named Teresa, who writes, "Hi, I had serious acid reflux. I loved coffee and found I could drink black coffee that I stirred with a cinnamon stick.
Huh.
I let it soak in the coffee for about 4 minutes, and it cut the reflux by a lot. Eventually, I had, I'm going to try to pronounce this, Nissen fundoplication.
Yeah, a Nissen fundoplication.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Good job.
Thank you.
Medical school is in your cards.
Yeah, right. Right. No, it's not. I had Nissen fundoplication and no longer have the severe reflux.
Uh-huh. Well, the Nissen fundoplication is really for severe reflux. I mean, that's one of the things that's used surgically. There are other surgical procedures, too, that can help with GERD that is not helped by medication. So glad it's helping. And it's interesting about the cinnamon stick. I think it's something that our listeners will love to hear about.
I've never heard of that one before. And here's another related coffee tip. This one came via a voicemail from a listener in Minnesota.
The person who called in querying about coffee and it making her feel unwell, has she tried drinking cold brew coffee, which is very, very, very low acid coffee. That's all I wanted to say. Thanks loads. Bye.
I have never thought about that.
I didn't know that. I love cold brew.
The answer is cold brew is different. It's done in a different way. And there are lots of things there. Coffee is a very complex beverage. And there are lots of things within coffee. And the cold brew may actually work better for some people than the hot brew. That makes a lot of sense. Worth trying.
Have you ever had nitro cold brew?
I have. I like it.
Pretty good.
I like the taste
creamy
of it. Yeah, I like the taste of it.
Do you have a helpful tip for the show? We love coffee tips always. Just post on our Facebook page or send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
See you next week, Zorba.
Stay well, Carl.
If you missed anything during the show or you just want to stream the show online anytime, visit us on the web
at ZorbaPastor.org and, of course, through Facebook.
And don't forget, you can call anytime.
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 Anytime. Is that one too many?
That's enough.
Leave us your question at 800-462-7413. Zorba Pastor on Your Health is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is not intended as a medical diagnosis, so please do check with your doc. Our executive producer is me, Carl Christensen. Our technical director is Brad Kohlberg. Our theme music is by Leo and Ben Sidran. That went down. For Zorba Pastor, I'm Carl Christensen, asking you to join us on the next
Zorba Pastor on Your Health.